Well, happy leap year. That's good. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Want to pray for a couple things. Pastor Larry and Wayne Dollarhide are in the Philippines, and their trip seems to be going real well. Been texting back and forth with them all day and just hearing what they're doing. They're teaching some pastors there. Wayne started a ministry called Five Loaves, and they feed a ton of kids in different schools in Haiti and Philippines and a couple other places. Anyways, they're in the Philippines kind of checking out those schools and getting into more schools where they can feed kids, and so they've been helping out, and so they're doing great. Just heard from them. I want to pray for our friend Alex Scorsia, who's normally here on Wednesday nights. He had his surgery, went very well. He had the L4, L5 herniated disc that they had to go in and snip out about a 7 millimeter, and so that all went good. But 3 o'clock in the morning, he was still in the hospital. 3 o'clock in the morning, felt just the back of his calf and right behind his knee area was just in a lot of pain. Ended up being a blood clot, and so I just talked to him at 10 to 7, and they just came out of another surgery he had to go in where they put in one of those kind of umbrella filters to make sure that it doesn't, if it dislodges, go into his heart. So I just want to pray for Alex also. Before I pray for both of those, I just want to say thank you for last Wednesday. Kelly had asked, hey, whoever wants to pray for one of our junior hires or high schoolers that were going up to camp over the weekend. And you guys ran over there, grabbed up every name, and hopefully prayed for them all weekend. It was a great, great camp. So hearing back from Richie, I told him just kind of jot down a few things that really impacted what he thought was kind of a blessing and what he saw with the kids. And so I'm just going to read, it's about a paragraph. He said, we had a praise night on Saturday where there was no inhibition, no drama, no look at me attitude as the kids just cried out to the Lord in praise. I saw that lives were transformed at the very moment because I believe God was healing those who had been holding on to things, keeping them from truly worshiping or even knowing God personally. We could have worshiped our God all night. I had a high school boy tell me with tears in his eyes that he couldn't explain the joy he was feeling as he worshiped. He felt the life of Jesus had a true encounter with the living God. The high school girls and boys were free from their rigidness and surrendered their hearts to let God show them true freedom in Christ. Thank you for your prayers. And the prayers of God's people were powerful this weekend. And so Richie says thanks for doing that. Awesome. Powerful. Father, we come before you and we say thank you for this night, our time of worship, our time to set aside what's happened in our busy day and to come and sit and hopefully not fall asleep, but have ears open to what you want to speak to us. And as we got a great subject tonight on the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts that you want to give each and every one of us. And so we pray that we would leave here tonight knowing that you have a gift or gifts for every single one of us. And it is truly that, a special gift from you individually for us for the building up of your kingdom. And so, God, we pray you'd speak to us, excuse me, in that. God, we lift up our brother Alex to you. We pray for his healing now. We pray that clot would be able to dissipate. We pray, Lord, for the healing of now his back and this other little minor surgery. We just pray, God, that you would be his encouragement, you would be his strength, that he'd be able to get out of there soon and get back home. And we just pray that you would do that healing process upon him. Continue to be with Pastor Larry and Wayne in the Philippines and ministering to all the kids at the schools that they go to, and also to these pastors that they're getting to teach and really connect with. And sounds like just a great group of guys that are really doing a lot in ministering to these children. And also a difficult problem of human trafficking right there in their area also that they're trying to combat. And so we just pray that you'd be with them and especially their teaching times and just showing them all that you want to show them there in the Philippines. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to take verses 1 through 11 tonight. couple kind of takeaways, at least I hope, a couple takeaways for our study tonight. I pray that you'll make it personal. There's a lot of different things you can think of. Why didn't the church do this? Why didn't the church do that? Let's start. We'll get to that in chapter 14. Really, if you haven't gone through Corinthians before, 12, 13, and 14 is this area of the gifts, and it will talk about it in our private life and what they're for, and in our public life here when we get together as a church and what they're for. Sandwiched in the middle of that is the greatest chapter of all, chapter 13 on love, we'll talk about the more excellent way. Last statement there in chapter 12 that kind of highlights that more excellent way is love in chapter 13, so can't wait for that chapter either. But make it personal. You and your God, Him wanting to give you gifts. I thought of this when we were worshiping during one of the songs. My dad and growing up, we had seven brothers and sisters, and it was kind of few and far between, at least what I remember, of my dad coming home from work and bringing just Brian a gift. For no other reason, not my birthday, anything else. And I could remember two that really were a standout in my mind. One was a skateboard and one was a pocket knife, where he came home and it was just for me. Of course, I'd go tell my sister, did you get anything? I did, you know, probably. But I remember how special it was out of a big family like that for God to be able to say, or for my father to be able to say, and in his way of showing me, you're special. And I thought of you, and I bought this, and it's for you, my gift to you. I see the kind of the same analogy as God the Father has, as we'll see in this, and he mentions it a couple times, I have a gift for you. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a gift or gifts for you. And we'll talk about their purpose and everything else as we get into that. And so let's think about us and what gift that is and what God desires to give us. Secondly, let's not put God in a box. We know that there's a lot of fighting if you've been within the church part of the church more than a month, and then you realize that within Christendom, there's a lot of different ideas about the gifts, and so we'll give grace and allow different churches to be able to understand this chapter maybe in a little bit different ways, so we're not going to put God in a box. We're going to remember Jesus is Lord. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but I want to start off by saying, remember, Jesus is Lord, and he needs to have preeminence. Matter of fact, in John, in chapter 16, Jesus says this. The context is talking about the Holy Spirit all the way from verse 5, but I'll jump into verse 13 of chapter 16. He says, however, Jesus speaking, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you things to come. Then he says this, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Even as we study in the Holy Spirit, and yes, we have the Trinity, and yes, they're co-equal, but their functioning and what they do is a little bit different. And so with that, Jesus gets the preeminence. Now, some churches, and that's where we'll say, go to an extreme of focusing on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and tilt a little bit too far that way and not allowing Jesus to have the preeminence. So that's another thing I just wanted to throw out. Next, we don't want to throw out the baby with the proverbial bathwater. Meaning, just because some churches might abuse the gifts, it doesn't just mean we take gifts then and throw it away. Because think about it, there's churches that abuse prayer, there's the ones that abuse the teaching of God's words, there's churches that abuse everything, so we would end up with nothing at the end. So just because a church abuses the gifts doesn't mean they're not for today or they're not from the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this is a letter written to a church that wasn't doing it right. But they were believers. They had the Holy Spirit. They were just using these things wrong, and he's writing the letter to get it right. And I don't know if we're doing much better at it 2,000 years later today. I would never claim that our church has got it all figured out within the Holy Spirit. And that's a little bit scary thing, especially for my position, the teaching position. But we'll allow the Lord to continue to correct us as we go. Are we at Calvary charismatic? There's really, again, before we launch into this, really four main groups regarding gifts. And what churches think, they'll fit in usually within one of these four gifts right here. The first one is cessation, meaning the root of the word is the word cease. Okay, and so gifts were only for the, they believe, gifts were for just the early church and not for today, meaning that the tongues or gifts or whatever have ceased. The second one is the charismatics. I like what one pastor says, we're charismatics with seatbelts, meaning that there's boundaries to that, okay? And so in fact, as Calvary Chapels, we fit into that category of charismatic. We believe all the gifts are for today, but we also believe they need to be governed. The third category would be the charismaniacs, believing all gifts are for today also, but oftentimes have a low view of the Bible. Here's what I mean by that. When they prophesy, it's often placed above the written word of God. You'll hear it even sometimes is, let's get into the word of God today. And as they're doing that, well, you know what? The Lord's given me a word. And all of a sudden, they'll esteem their word of prophecy on an equal par to the word of God or above the word of God. And so taking it to that extreme. The fourth category is the Pentecostals that also believe all gifts are for today, but often believe speaking in tongues is a proof text that you have the Holy Spirit. I had been invited to a few of those when I had first gotten saved, and it really put a hamper on Kelly, I know, for a long time, because my friend was just trying to beat into us and basically was saying if she couldn't speak in tongues, then she could not have the Holy Spirit residing within her. And it made her not even want that gift just to prove him wrong, just to show you that I do. Well, that's another story. But anyways, that's not all Pentecostals, but usually that's becomes an issue. In defining terms, let's read our text, verses 1 through 11. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's a good thing. That means he's going to clue us in and say, you can actually know what you're supposed to do here. You know that you were Gentiles, or that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, or at least as a true confession. They're not able to say that except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, here it is, each one for the profit of all, to each one, each believer. But it's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's what we're going to take tonight. In verse 4, we have the word gifts, or charismaton. It's a plural of charismata, obviously, and so with that, I'll kind of just throw these on the board there. It means essentially a free, graciously conferred gift. And so a gift is by grace, which is the very core of the word gift, and so you have that word grace, charis, or the word gift, charisma, or gifts, plural, charismaton, as we have here in the text. And so charismatic today refers to those who hold that the gifts are for today. That's where we are in that category of charismatic, being that we believe in the gifts are for today. We're not looking at natural talents given by God, oftentimes through our parents, or learned skills. Those are learned by us. You pick up the guitar and you work really hard at it. You become good at the guitar. That would be a learned skill. So we get some natural talents from mom and dad. We get some learned skills that are exactly that, learned. But we're talking about in this chapter gifts that God gives, i.e. supernatural gifts. These aren't natural gifts, supernatural gifts given by God. That's a very important point. Just because gifts are abused, again, does not make it wrong. We already touched on that. So again, usually today, two extremes, the groups that say gifts aren't for today, the other side of the spectrum would be anything goes. I like what Chuck Smith said. He said, no Holy Spirit and you dry up, too much Holy Spirit and you blow up, the right balance and you grow up. And so that's good. It's for the growing up or the building up of the body of Christ. And so, as another said, these should be tools to build with, not weapons to slay with, nor toys to play with. Are they for today? Some say they stopped at the end of the apostolic age. Yet Peter prophesied beyond the apostolic age, matter of fact, way beyond it in Acts 2 and verse 17, where he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams." And so we know it extends all the way out until right before Christ comes back. So let's look at this charismaton, these gifts. He starts off in verse 1, he says, don't be ignorant, don't be uninstructed, don't be uninformed, don't be unlearned. Learn what these gifts are, understand what they mean in Scripture, so as you're praying for them, you'll know if you receive them or not. I like in verse 4 through 6 where he kind of lays out these three layers of the six. You have the Trinity involved, that there's a diversity of gifts by the same Spirit, and it says diversities of ministries by the same Lord or Christ. And then diversities of activities, but it's the same God representing the Father. And so you have the Trinity kind of packed right in there and being involved in this. And so it says that there's different gifts. And we're going to go into the details of those right here in verses 8 through 10. We'll talk about the different gifts, at least the ones that are mentioned here. There's a couple more places in Scripture where we have other gifts that are mentioned, but there's different gifts, not just one. And to the surprise of some, yes, there are more than just tongues. Okay, so there are more gifts than just that one. There are different ministries. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12, he gives us an example of some of those. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so there's different ministries in which you're going to need these different gifts. And there's different activities, or the NIV says different workings, or different results because of these gifts in the different ministries. It'll have different results that are there also. And so don't try to pigeonhole our God and how he works, and how he worked in the first century, and how he worked back in the 1970s in Costa Mesa, or you know what I mean? It's we don't want to pigeonhole God. What we ought to be asking, I think, is to be able to say, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with our church? What do you want to do with, and look at presently today and not what only happened in the past? And again, allowing other Christians and churches to manifest the gifts a little bit different than us. Again, I already mentioned verse 7 and 11, it's each one. Each one, he gives us a gift to each one of us as he wills, as he chooses, as he picks. Donald Gee's got a great book on the Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit, for his own wise reason, imparts to every person a special gift for the special service to which he's called. Now, you might pray all you want for one specific gift, and you might not ever get it. He's going to gift you for the ministry that you have or what you need. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Some say that the lists in the Bible where it gives the gifts, that they're not complete, that these are only a sampling. We don't know. It seems to be kind of open-ended that way. In Romans 12, it gives another list in verses 6 through 8. And so that adds to this one. So we know this isn't a completed list. And then because he writes to another church, the Romans, and writes to them and says, how to use these gifts. If you prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it to our ministering. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so he used a couple of the same ones, but then added a few more over there. And then Ephesians gives us some other ones also. Some might say, how come Jesus didn't talk about the gifts? If it's that important, why didn't he talk about it? Well, actually, he did. And we go back to and read in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We all know that part. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And then he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. That would be miracles. They'll speak with new tongues. That's the gift of tongues. They'll take up serpents. That also would be miracles. If they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. That would be miracles. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the gift of healings. Now, unfortunately, some churches have tried to live out that verse, and they do the crazy poisonous snake things where they're grabbing onto them, and that gets kind of crazy. But so I don't think you're supposed to go look for the deadly snakes, you know, and see if it works. But, you know, but given that situation, God protecting you, that's kind of what the thing was all about. Let's jump into these now and look at each one of them and kind of grab them one by one. Got a lot of material to cover, and so we'll jump in. Verse 8, the first one is that word of wisdom, knowledge rightly applied. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're a wise person or not. This gifting here is supernatural. God just gives you that wisdom on the spot for that time. So how it works and doesn't work, the gift refers to the word of wisdom applying a spoken utterance through a direct operation of the Holy Spirit at a given moment. It's not this abiding deposit of supernatural wisdom. That's not what it is. We don't become this reservoir of a kind of wisdom. Instead, the Holy Spirit comes upon us in the time that, again, we need it. And so if you have that word of wisdom, it's not like you're walking around with this big old giant head. Allow me to share into your life. No, that's not it. Okay, so there's three situations which God may give the word of wisdom just to kind of give some kind of flesh to the bones here. Number one, in answering persecutors. Remember when Paul threw that theological hand grenade in the midst of the Pharisees and the scribes? He was standing before Ananias, high priest, and he said, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. That was a word of wisdom. Because all of a sudden, as he speaks that forth, we realize the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, started this big old fight in between the two. It was very wise. But there would be a situation in answering his persecutors how he did that. The second one, in defending the faith, might be a time where God would give us that word of wisdom. You might find yourself in a situation that's like, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And that would be a time to pray, would you please give me the word of wisdom here? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do in this situation. Did I ever tell you about the time in my garage with my washing machine? My Doberman, it was a different Doberman at the time. But Kelly and I, we've been in our house for 27 years now. We live in Temecula. And so is one of my older Dobermans. Anyways, we were poor. We couldn't replace our washing machine. We didn't have any money to do that. Didn't have any money in the savings account or anything else. And I can't figure out why things just stopped. And I'm a little bit of a handyman. I can usually figure out things. Well, I did my best, and I cannot figure it out. And so the Lord says, why don't you pray? I said, Kelly, let's pray. So we laid our hands on the washing machine. My Doberman jumped up, put his paws on it. I thought that was extra help, so I said, okay. And so we prayed, and it was done. It's like no earth-shattering revelation. I walked 4 feet to my door. I put my hand on the handle.